You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Extremely tasteful.
Breakfast food on 95BFM.
Take two. Morena, Lucy, how are you this morning?
Morena, again. I'm good. I'm hoping this works this time.
No, it sounds good. Hey, we're talking curry this morning, which is a good warm thing to eat on a cold day. What's your sort of go-to curry situation at home?
Yeah, I reckon the joy of curry is so much variation and so many things you can do. I was trying to figure out why, but for some reason I tend to go veggie curry, and it might just be that meat is expensive.
Yeah.
Or you don't need it because you're using so many spices.
Mm.
So I love to do an eggplant curry. I love eggplant, and I've only recently gotten really good at cooking it. So I love doing a whole bunch of spices. Usually, like, you can use what you've got kicking around. You can use a curry mix if you've got one, but I like using fresh ones if I can. So I'll go like your coriander seeds, your cumin seeds. I'm probably going to horrify a bunch of Indian and Sri Lankan people by my very slapdash curry making. But also like turmeric and ginger, and if you want to be sort of more sweet and warming, you can add in like your cardamom and your cinnamon and those kind of spices.
Yum. I have to say cardamom is one of those spices that I am always a little bit afraid because I'm quite heavy-handed with it, and then you end up having a very floral-flavoured savoury meal, which is always a bad thing, but I'm not very good at quite getting my ratios right there. I'm with you on the veggie thing, though. We tend to just make a vegetarian curry in our flat as well. I think it's also something about I'm just a bit scared of cooking chicken.
It's cooking like chicken, especially when it's covered in sauce, and then you're like, well, what's it looking like?
How's it going in there? Maybe that's that's just the not very experienced chef in me going on. But I'm interested in how you're making eggplant work for you, because I also do find I'm not quite right at getting the consistency in a curry perfect.
It's hard. Eggplant is such a hard vegetable. I reckon it takes a while to master, and there's a lot of mythology around it. Like, the big one is salting the eggplant, and I know people are really divided on this. I know chefs are divided on it, but essentially my understanding is that most of the eggplant varieties that we have now, which is pretty much your ubiquitous big purple globe, is they've bred them to a point where they're not very bitter.
So is that what the salting was for bitterness, not for wateriness?
Yeah, it's, I guess, a bit of both, because it does depend a bit how you're trying to prepare it as well, because it does release so much water. But I have stopped salting, and it has
changed
things. I have changed things, because I don't have to salt them anymore. But what I tend to do is I roast them first, or I do a really hot pan. So it's always a bit of a faff when you're sort of, like, I love a one-pot meal. And so it is a bit of a fat if you're going to cook something in the oven or cook something in a pan, and then you're going to take it out and then you're going to put it back in a pan with other stuff. But eggplant, you have to.
You got to take the plunge with the eggplant.
Exactly. She's an individual princess. She wants her own time in the oven. In the pan.
She needs a special pan, and she needs a special preparation.
She does. So I usually go like bite-sized pieces for curry because delicious, easier to eat. And so bite-sized pieces, and if you can't really bother turning the oven on, just warm maybe like a big tablespoon of coconut oil or of olive oil, or honestly whatever oil you've got. Get it over pretty high heat, like medium-high heat. You want a pretty big pan too. And you want to just start cooking it until you've got some really good colour on the eggplant and it's getting nice and soft.
Yum.
You'll tell when that textural change will happen, and it will move from like hard sponge to something kind of yielding. And don't be afraid of getting lots of colour on it, because that's going to be all of your flavour as well that's coming out, all your caramelisation.
Yeah, caramelly, umami goodness.
Exactly. And you can chuck spices in while you're cooking it. I'll usually just just put a little bit of salt in while I'm cooking it. So I'm very, very into my salt as you go. But you can leave it as it is and not really spice it while you're cooking it, because you're going to be putting all your spices into your curry sauce once you start cooking that.
And so, are you a dry spice sort of toasty situation before you start adding your oils and your liquids and stuff?
I kind of am. I think one of the things that makes a curry really good, and I truly am not an expert, I'm definitely learning to make a really good curry. I'm sure there's heaps of listeners who could give us some better tips. But one of the things you really don't want to do is you don't want to be adding your wet ingredients in or your sauce stuff in before you've really cooked your spices and kind of removed that raw taste from them.
Okay.
Because they get, if you haven't cooked them through and they haven't been like properly toasted and sort of released all their fragrances, you're sort of going to taste the slight rawness later on in the curry, and it'll still be yum.
But it just won't be as yum.
Real,
yeah.
Yeah, you want that sort of beck. You want those big flavors to kind of open up and be really full.
We've got some good cheat recipes coming through here. Somebody has suggested getting a Japanese curry, the ones that you get from the supermarket, like Lim Chow on K Road or something. They were quite like a new thing to me cooking at home over lockdown. That was like, we probably had one once a week in our flat because it was just became something we stuck in the flat shop. And honestly changed the game. It was so comforting,
good.
So yummy and so easy. And you kind of just add whatever you want to it and feel really bougie.
100%. And if you don't have a well-stocked spice cabinet, if you are not an insane spice hoarder like me, then using something like a roux, they basically come usually as like little cubes. And you're kind of adding them to liquid A and forming sort of a roux, like a thick mm-hmm. curry sauce. And they've already got all their spices in them. So you can add more if you want, but you kind of don't have to back around looking for a million different spices and stocking the cupboard and all that. You've got this.
That is what's appealing about ready-made stuff for me is the thickening.
Yeah.
Because I find it really difficult to get the ratios right of whatever thickening agent
is required.
I'm utilising.
I reckon that's such a good point, though, because it depends massively on what you're cooking in the curry or in soup. I had a soup the other day and it kept saying, when this thickens up, add in your coconut milk. And I was like,
it has not.
When's that happening?
And I was also like, I don't know how it's going to, because there's nothing in it that's going to thicken it. Like, there's no potatoes. There's no...
Where's my starch?
Yeah.
I'd be very keen to know where people's out and about curries come from as well. I feel like people will have strong reckons on this in the same way they have very strong opinions about pies, where the best pies in Auckland are. Mm-hmm. Where's the best curry in Auckland? I'm sure Paradise is going to come through on the text machine.
I just can't help it. It's funny. Listen, the Mount Albert one has a little club on the side.
Oh, it's so good.
Why, that's just so entertaining to me.
That's very, very good. And the curry is amazing.
Yes.
So text us on 5395, your favourite out and about curries, also your favourite home recipes or hot tips, because we're all looking for something comforting and warm and yum to eat in the winter. Lucinda, thank you so much for bringing us your eggplant deliciousness this morning.
You're so welcome.
We will talk to you again next week. Take it easy.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Food for thought. Breakfast food on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.